Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers Church. Many of you I know are gathered in our small groups tonight, so we welcome you, but also anybody else who may be tuning in on our radio station, 101.7 FM in the Menominee area, or if you're streaming from our website, jfbelievers.com, however you're tuning in tonight, glad that you're with us. We're going to be looking into God's Word as we do every Wednesday here at 6:30. We return to our Sunday message from the previous Sunday and try to review it. And then those who are in small groups kind of follow that up with some discussion, try to apply that to our lives. So tonight we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Judges, and we're going to be in chapter 9. So I'd encourage you, if you can, to turn there to Judges chapter 9 with us. Now, our message was entitled Jotham the Just, and what we'll shortly do is go to some clips from that message that'll, I think, summarize what was said on Sunday and lead to some lessons, some application for our life, which I hope you can discuss in those small groups. Now, if you're not a part of a small group, we'd really encourage it here at Believers Church. We believe this is one of the best ways we can grow and encourage each other as believers. But I trust that you find a small group. If you haven't already, you're always welcome to join us. Again, our small groups meet in Menominee, Wisconsin, but also many of the surrounding communities, and you can find out more about those small groups if you give our office a call or check our website. But all that being said, again, we welcome you tonight. We're going to go to those clips here shortly, and I pray that you have a good discussion to follow.
We need to step back and get a bit of an overview of what's going to be said in this chapter, because it gives a drastic comparison of two very different individuals here, one by the name of this Abimelech and one by the name of Jotham. Abimelech, he was the son of the judge Gideon, who we spoke of last week. And what we're going to see him do in this chapter is seek power, but he's going to do so via treachery, deception, violence, intrigue, and ultimately, he's going to get what he wants until he doesn't, until it all falls apart. His life highlights the destructive nature of wrong ambitions. And starting off on the wrong path, thinking you're doing the right thing. On the other hand, we have this man, Jotham, his brother, another son of Gideon. But he stands in direct opposition to this Abimelech because this young man shows wisdom, reasonableness, and a commitment to what we could call godly justice here in this chapter. A commitment to doing the right thing. And we're going to see him, as Jason read for us, righteously call out the actions of his older brother, Abimelech, which is going to lead to the judgment of God upon his choices. One example of a godless man doing his own thing. One example of a godly man following God. In this chapter is going to be really a window into the two options we have for our destiny. The two paths that we could take that are radically different. Judges 9, verse 1. Let's read it. Then Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem. Jerubbaal is Gideon, by the way. Went to Shechem, to his mother's brothers, and spoke with them and all the family of the house of his mother, saying, his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and bone. And his mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver for the temple of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. And they went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest of Jerubbaal, was left, because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Milo, and they all went and made Abimelech their king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. This path that Abimelech is starting to walk down begins with wrong ambitions, it begins with pridefulness, it begins with sin. And the interesting thing is that he's going to find a success with this path. He's going to get exactly what he wanted until he doesn't. Anytime we begin on a path with wrong motives, we can be sure that that path will ultimately lead to disaster and pain. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems like the right way to go. Isaiah 59:8. They don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. Habakkuk 2:9. What sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly. You believe your wealth will buy security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. What we're speaking about here is something called dishonest gain. Dishonest gain is achieved with methods like lying, conflating the truth, manipulating people, leveraging family members or position, using scare tactics, tough talk, threatening people. And as we see here, it can progress beyond that. Stealing, bribery, embezzlement, cheating, using insider information. All of this is ungodly gain. Abimelech is going to use this achievement to get exactly what he wants, and now he is king. He got it. He got it. But we have to remember, and we'll see by the time we get to the end of this, about any time we chase after something that God has not intended for us, that path is going to be filled with damage. Behind that path is going to be people that are damaged. Along the path of ungodly gain, we're going to learn something, and that's to stay on that path is going to require more ungodliness. It's something you never think about up front. I'll just do this one little thing. I know it's not right, but I'll work this situation to my advantage. We'll straighten it out later. The problem with that is that you can't. You either need to go back to where you started and begin down the right path, or you choose to keep going down the path of more and more and more ungodliness. And that's what we see this man doing. Now, they come together to ratify his kingship at a place called the Pillar of Shechem, which is rather ironic because there's a history behind this Pillar of Shechem. It's not the first time we see it in Scripture. We see it in the book of Joshua, and it served a very particular purpose. At least it did in Joshua's day. We can read in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." And so this pillar acts as a silent witness, affirming that everybody heard what God's expectations and intentions for them was. At least at one point in time it did. God has always made his way and expectations pretty clear since the beginning. At least in the distant past, these people were very much aware of what they were supposed to do, of what God's expectations on their life were. Yet Abimelech and the rest of the people thought that they were getting away with everything right there before the witness that Joshua had set up. And yes, while they will succeed, that silent witness is going to hold them accountable. We often think we can get away with things because nobody's watching, because nobody's there to see it happen. that we can break a few rules to get away with a little progress in our life. Yet there's always a silent witness, isn't there? God's always watching. There's always a witness there to see what we're doing. And we don't truly get away with anything. But even in addition to this silent witness that we see here, we have a very vocal witness as well. Someone who puts words to what God is seeing in the situation. Jotham. And I think it's true that God is going to provide these very same two witnesses to every generation, and he has throughout history. He's going to provide his word, which has been there since the beginning, and he's going to provide his messengers to each generation to put voice to it. His word that does not change, and his witnesses. And so we see this witness in this man, Jotham. This young man is Gideon's youngest son, and he's the only survivor of a severe tragedy. I want you to think about his mindset as he goes into this. Traumatized, no doubt. We don't know how old he is, but he's the youngest. And 69 of his brothers have just been killed. He escapes narrowly with his life. But what does he do? When he hears about all the craziness, he's going to do something that's very brave. He's going to climb to the top of Mount Gerizim, which is about 800 feet in elevation. It's like a 20-minute walk. And speak out, yell out to the men of Shechem. He preaches a really short message here, but it's a pretty brave one. But he saw injustice, and he stood up and said something about it. And yeah, he was scared. He was afraid to do it. But yet he still did it. So it's been about 3 years, it says. And I think we can assume everyone's pretty much forgotten what this Jotham guy had to say. Well, he ran away. I guess everything's going fine. Abimelech's still king. Things are going well. Until it's not. Until it's not. Abimelech had done what he wanted to do. Jotham had done what he thought he should do. But now we're going to find out what God wants to do for the first time in this whole chapter. Enter God. And so it says that God here sends a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and Shechem. We're going to see this tide begin to dramatically turn in the life of Abimelech. And we see Galatians 6:7 played out. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So now, people of Shechem, notice while they're drinking, always the best ideas come to the table. Have a big change of heart. Shocker, huh? That these upright individuals would have a change of heart. And they do so, I want you to notice, while worshiping in the house of their god, Baal-berith. It's interesting, if you remember back, who funded Abimelech's coup? The same temple. The same temple funded his coup, and now suddenly a big change of heart right in this temple against him. Listen, if we're going to move forward in opposition to God, if we're going to do what he's doing here in any sense, in any way, those allies that are helping you do that, hey, they might be allies today. They might be allies for 3 years, but eventually their heart's going to change just as quickly. When there's some new prospect on the horizon, they're not to be trusted. I think we see Abimelech beginning to experience Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked, and you will never find peace when you seek to fulfill the flesh in your life. You never will. It'll feel like it. You'll feel like you're on the right track, but it will remain out of your grasp. And you will never experience, certainly not God's peace in your life, if you follow the plan of wickedness. Remember God's counsel to Cain back in Genesis? All the way back then, he said to Cain, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. You must subdue it and be its master. It needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, it's going to consume you. And that's what we begin to see happening in the life of Abimelech. Everything he thought he had under control is now going to begin to control him. Something we do not think about oftentimes. We think we have sin. We think we have these things under control in our life. Yet we're playing with a raging lion. That is eventually, when it's strong enough and old enough, going to turn its teeth and bite us. And so now we see Abimelech chasing his tail a bit, and things are even going to spiral more. And this is what will happen if we seek a path that is not God's. Ultimately, that path that you are on is going to become very confused. You may even begin to forget why you started on that path, what the goal of that path was. Here Abimelech is just tied up in the moment, tied up in the confusion of the day, forgetting that, well, he was supposed to be king. Verse 50, then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled there and shut themselves in it. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he quickly called to his young man, the armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of him, a woman killed him. So his young man thrust him through and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech. And what's his concern? Well, that he would be killed by this woman. But really, it's much deeper than that, isn't it? It was God who killed him. It's God who repaid Abimelech for the wrongs that he had chosen. So who's justified in the end? Well, of course, God is justified in the end, and he always will be. But there's another one. Jotham was justified. It's a minority, but he was there too. Everything that Jotham spoke from the mountain has now happened. Everything. Everything that sounded so ridiculous or perhaps even forgettable at the time has come true. He had called out the wrong path of the people. They had the chance to make things right, to reflect, to look at their lives and the decisions they made and make a change. But they didn't. And 3 years later, judgment from God came. Almost everybody in the story is a sad ending. Almost every one of them. God waited those 3 years for Abimelech. And in that time, Abimelech got exactly what he wanted, but it was short-lived. It was short-lived. And so it is for our own lives. If you're going to seek ungodly gain, go down a path, start down a path with the wrong motivations and try to maintain that path by staying out of the will of God, it'll be short. Your life will be short. You may not have the same ending as Abimelech, but it will be tragic in the end. That path will only lead to your ruin, and no doubt the ruin of many people around you. There's one thing that's certain about all of our futures, and that's something we see illustrated here, is God is going to judge. His judgment's coming. And so what path are you on today? Are you trusting God? Keeping a pure heart, even when it's difficult, even when you're afraid, even when you're alone? Like Jotham here? And yeah, you might look ridiculous in the moment. You might. You might look like a fool. Your words might be forgotten. But in the end, you'll be justified because nobody who puts their hope in God will be ashamed or disgraced. You'll be justified in the end. And if you're on the path of Abimelech, perhaps today you know, if we were to sit down and have a conversation and always ask you, do you really think you've acted rightly, righteously? You've done this the right way? You've achieved this path in your life by doing things according to God's will? And you would honestly, in the bottom of your heart, say, no. I've fudged. I have not only made some mistakes, but done so intentionally. I have sinned. Well, then now's your chance to repent. Chance to change the path you're on. Time to go back to where you started, where you deviated, and make a correction. This was the opportunity, the blessing that was offered via Jotham's mouth to all the people. Nobody took him up on the offer, and I wonder how many people ever will. But the offer nonetheless stands for you today. To go back, to make this right before God, to repent, and to be put on the right path. I'll end with this, Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.